Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello, everybody, and welcome to
Fingers on Buzzers.
It doesn't work that way around so well, does it? It was worth a try.
I enjoyed the bathos of it. Is that bathos?
It is. Well, the puncturing of the, basically the, I don't really know. I've never known what bathos means.
I just like calling people pathetic.
Yes. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say what you thought I said. I said something else that you don't understand. Welcome all to Fingers on Buzzers for a very exciting episode featuring one of my favourite people in the world.
Hooray.
Lovely Izzy Sooty, who's just a delight.
I thought you were talking about me.
Well, obviously, the listeners take it as read that you are my favourite. And Amanda. Hello, Amanda. You two are my favourite. And coming in somewhere near my husband and children is Izzy Sooty.
As she should be.
As she should be. And the cats, obviously. My cats. And Joe McDonald.
This is a new feature. Lucy rates people.
Just compares everyone to Joe McDonald. So, yes, she does very well against Joe McDonald. Now, the reason Jane McDonald is on my mind, Jenny,
you have to have a reason, though.
Well, I mean, she's always on my mind, but particularly at the moment, because you and I did something quite exciting recently. Do you want to tell the listeners what it was?
We went cruising.
Not with Jane McDonald, but
sadly
with
not.
Dr. Range, the Reverend Kate Botley.
Gareth Gates.
People. Gareth Gates, David, your friend, who's a delight, and Rob. And it was brilliant. We went on a princess cruise, which was themed mind, body, and soul. And we cruised for 3 days. We went from Southampton, which
was a wild and exciting ride.
It was 3 days on an amazing 17-story cruise ship, which was gorgeous. And quizzing ensued, did it not?
That's one of the great things about a cruise is the amount of quizzing that goes on. On an average day at sea, you're looking at 6 to 8 quizzes, competitive quizzes per day, different formats, different locations. You're just kind of chasing the quiz around the ship.
Yes. But we refrained. Entertainment manager was running quizzes on all manner of TV, film, music, all of that stuff.
And his own little game shows as well. A version of Mr. and Mrs., which was not called Mr. and Mrs., probably for legal reasons.
Yes.
It was all going on. And yeah, you could quiz nonstop if you wished. But we refrained because it just wasn't fair having Lucy take part in quizzes because she would just trounce dominate everybody on there.
Yeah,
and win all of the Princess Cruise pens and lanyards and whatever the prizes were.
But we did
have a little quiz at the very end. We quizzed our party. There was a rude round that Lucy came up with,
which was the Viz Profanosaurus, Roger's Profanosaurus. I gave the name of something in Roger's Profanosaurus and everyone had to give their definitions. And I have to say that I was quite frankly shocked by Dr. Ranger's. I mean, I suppose he has great anatomical knowledge given his training, but he really put that to use.
Very precise and descriptive.
And the Reverend Kate Botley's a lot more fun than you'd think as well for a vicar. She was hilarious.
Well, I did think she'd be a laugh, but I wasn't sure just how much of a laugh until
she was basically
5 minutes in and I knew we were all right. So hopefully we'll get the Reverend Kate on in a future episode.
Yes, and indeed Dr. Ange.
Of course. Oh, he won't thank us, but we'll have to do a medical quiz for him. Lucy went swimming all the time. She was having a wonderful time.
I did. I went swimming. And then there was a man on the final night who came up to me and went, "I've been watching you in the pool." Yes. So that was nice. I was glad that happened on the last night rather than the first night, because I would have been confined to my bunk if I'd seen that.
Good Lord.
I've been watching that. What's the thing set on the submarine?
Das Vigil. Boot. Oh, Vigil.
I've been watching Das Boot just for fun. But
You've got to watch it at least once a year, haven't you? A full version.
Oh, yeah. You have your sing along of Das Boot. Yeah. I won't do a Profanosaurus. The Profanosaurus round was good fun. If anyone's thinking of doing an adult, slightly naughty quiz, I can let you have my Profanosaurus round.
I don't think anybody got exactly the right answer, though, did they? But their answers were much more creative.
Yeah, I mean, Brad for dishwashing, we had some very good answers for that one.
Mm.
Anyway, I tell you what, we'll give you a question. I did some Jane McDonald themed questions. So this can be our question from the cruise. So here we go. What was the name of the television talent show hosted by Jane McDonald between 2000 and 2001? The judges included Nigel Martin-Smith and Barbara Windsor. Okay, it was on the BBC, hosted by Jane McDonald, a talent show. But what was its name? I'll tell you at the end of the show, after we've spoken to the gorgeous Izzy Sooty. Now, the treat that we spoke of, which is talking to one of the nicest ladies in show business, comedian, actor, novelist. She's all these things and more. It's the wonderful Izzy Sooty.
Hello. I could say the same of you, actually. You're one of the nicest ladies in comedy.
Oh, well, do you know what?
I'm sure you're one of the nicest ladies in quizzing.
She is. I mean, this is one of my dreams. This is a dream I had once. And I've been loving your novel, Jane is Trying. Your latest thing is, who knew that you would be brilliant at writing novels? It's so lovely and funny and relatable. And I urge everyone to go out and buy it immediately.
Thank you.
And I have done a little quiz based on, it's not sort of about the book because I don't want to spoil it for people, but it's sort of related to it in that your first quiz today, Izzy, is going to be about famous Janes.
Okay.
Because I love the name Jane, and I went to school with a girl called Jane Hill, who was lovely.
That's my auntie's name.
Yeah, never met a Jane I didn't like.
Is your auntie's name Jane Hill?
Yep.
How weird.
Very much doubt it's the same person.
This would be a great way to find out. She's not...
It's unlikely, isn't it? I do feel like all people with the same first name and surname should be forced to meet.
Yeah. Forced to live together.
Yeah.
It'll help the postman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Jane Hills, and I bet I'd like all of them. I'd love to be part of that.
I think it's nice when it's two, each name is one syllable, or each name has the, all of us, Jenny, Ryan, Lucy Porter, Izzy, if you don't call me Isabel, Sutty. I like it with that symmetry. Yeah. So Jane Hill is a good name.
This is why we've chucked Amanda Redman, unless she's prepared to be Mandy Redman for the day.
We'll fix your name somehow, Amanda. We'll puzzle this out.
You need a good cadence. I've got 10 questions. Let's see how we go. It's sort of quite quick fire, this. So, okay. It's name the Jane or the Jane related thing, basically. Oh, and Jen, you can do this as well because you haven't seen this. I can throw it to Jen if you don't fancy bonus. A question, is it?
I'll be circling like a shark.
How? I mean, we should establish your quizzing credentials, really, is it? Are you a keen quizzer or not?
Well, I like quizzing. I've got very few areas of expertise, but I love filling out surveys and I do like quizzes. And weirdly, although I like filling out surveys where you have to tick a box, like I was satisfied, I was not satisfied, I quite like quizzes that aren't multiple choice more than ones which are. I don't know why that is. I feel like maybe it's to do with being creative with the answer and taking more of a gamble, maybe.
Yeah. You're a risk taker.
Yeah.
Which is good. I like that. I mean, if you like filling in surveys, there's never been a better time to be alive, has there?
No. And we just went on a holiday and they sent me like, would you like to fill in the survey? I was like, yes. And it took me 20 minutes. And they were like, would you like to volunteer to fill in more surveys? I was like, yes, absolutely. I
will. An extension of the holiday. Yes, yeah, keep that vibe going, more surveys.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a high street where they just invite you in to sample some cheeses or something?
Well, my mum used to do market research as a job, and she used to have to get people to go in. I remember she had to do something in Derby, and there was a room, and I think you had to go in and rate tiles or paints out of 10. But the credentials they have to get, they have to get very specific groups of people. So it has to be like a man over 70, a woman between like 20 and 25. It's quite interesting. And then you get to the end of the day and there's all these, we haven't got any women over 90. And it's like, yeah, maybe because they're less likely to be out on a really busy high street.
Yes. Well, I think when it happened to me, and it was exciting because I got sort of shown into... it was in Leeds and I got shown into a little conference suite in the whatever that hotel next to the train station is. The woman, obviously, she knew what she wanted. So she said, so yeah, you're between, 25 and 40, right? And you don't work in the media, do you? And so she was leading me and I was like, well, I should stop her and say, yes, I do work in the media. Don't you know who I am? I'm very offended.
But and then, so when you said I do work in the media, did she kind of say, shall we say that you don't?
No, I didn't know. I didn't say, because basically she obviously wanted, I knew that she was saying, you don't work in the media, do you? Because she wanted me not to. So I didn't. And then I got to go in and it was actually yogurt drinks. So it was, I guess it was, Yoplait or Yakult or something. I don't know. But yeah, that was one of the best days of my life.
It's tremendously exciting, isn't it?
It is brilliant. Yeah. So questionnaire...
A quiz which incorporated tasting yogurts and rating tiles.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get chocolate tasting in a pub quiz now. Yeah. These days they often do
I've never been to that pub quiz. Oh, my God. We don't get that down in South London. I need to...
Oh, you will do. You will do. There will be somewhere in Crystal Palace. Probably more sort of Telegraph Hill for it. Okay. It's kind of slightly bohemian.
Guess the crisp flavour I've seen. And I once did a quiz where it was identify the spice by the smell.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah. 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 A lot of sneezing.
I suppose people are allergic to stuff as well. That's what's difficult about doing tastings with, you can do which nut is this.
Yeah, this is the thing that should have been done in the 80s where people weren't allergic to anything. Like, when you think back to fraud, it's like no one had any allergies. It's like, yeah, they did. It's just that no one really understood it.
Yes.
And my daughter's allergic to some nuts, so I'm much more aware now of literally everywhere you go, especially if it's like even hand cream that's got nut oil in it, I'm like, ooh, you know.
Oh, you wouldn't dream of serving a nut at a children's party. Now, the very idea of, like, you know, even Nutella, which is one of my favourite things, but you can't, yeah, you wouldn't, there's no way you're putting nuts near children these days. No way.
I know.
Although it would be quite good if you were in a quiz and there was identify a nut and you were just slightly allergic to a certain type of nut and you knew it wasn't going to be that bad, because then you could definitely, you could go, yeah, my lips
million pound question.
This is sesame because I'm starting to swell, so we're going to get that point.
Yeah, as long as you didn't have a severe reaction, you knew you weren't going to have a severe reaction, and yeah, it'd be like a superpower, actually.
Yes. Questionnaires. What about personality quizzes? Do you enjoy those?
Oh, yeah. Love them. Yeah. Relationship quizzes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the good things about having children is that they then start to get into, because online now they're massive, you know, which Hogwarts house would you go into, or, you know, all of those kind of things. And they think they invented them, and I'm like, no, Just 17 magazine invented them.
Really? Oh, they got a golden age, in fact. You couldn't click anything, you had to write it all down. Yeah. Mostly A's.
Circle A, B and C, didn't you, at the end? And then you knew, I know it's going to be mostly A's, or they needed to be more clever with it, I think, and kind of mix it up a bit.
Yeah, I don't like them when it's mostly A's, B's or C's. I like it when they've thought about it, they've shuffled it, and you have to do a proper score tally at the end. Yeah. I say that like I've been doing them recently. It must be, you know, 25 years since I've done one of those.
It's still the same.
I did do one recently that was A's, B's or C's. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was to do with lockdown anxiety or something like that. And I think you start to get, I think you tweak your answers because you start to think, oh, I'm an A person, don't you? And I think you're kind of drawn then to, so they definitely should mix it up. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd always sort of try and pick the answers that I thought would suggest I was, you know, fun-loving and carefree and all the things that I'm basically not.
I'll tell you, I did do a personality quiz a couple of months ago. It was which university challenge legend, sorry, I'll say again, which university challenge legend are you?
And who did you get?
Me.
Hey! Oh, they do work. Well, there we go. Now we've vindicated the science of personality quizzes. They're definitely right.
Yeah, yeah. It was close. I thought I was going to get Eric Monkman, but I got myself, thankfully.
But that is living proof then. Mostly J's.
So, well, this one, this is a quiz that you will like, Izzy, because it does not have options. Good. You just simply have to give me an answer. And as I say, it's Jane related. So question number one, which Jane is the one who died in the famous rhyme about Henry VIII's wives?
Oh, God. I think she's got a normal surname rather than like the something.
Or of, yeah, she's not of anywhere.
No.
Or, she's also got the same name as an actress who was in, help me out, Jen.
Some films.
In
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
This is supposed to be a friendly quiz, Lucy. Come on.
I know. I've started really off.
I don't know.
Do you want some options now?
Yes, I have. Choice options, please. That's what should happen. If you can't think of the answer, you get given multiple choice options.
Yeah.
Yes, is it Simpson, Seymour or Sullivan?
Seymour.
Yes, very good.
Didn't this make up Simpson and Sullivan on the spot?
I did. I found Sullivan very hard to think of. I felt
that was, yeah, very impressive.
I could have said Sooty.
Like, do a podcast about quizzing.
Can we go to question two now? Question two. This might be a bit before your time, but it's my era, so I'm going to say it anyway. Jane Harris, a.k.a. Plain Jane Superbrain, was a character in which TV soap opera?
Neighbours.
Yes.
Well, no doubt there. No doubt.
Straight in. I watched it the other day, the bit where she comes in, you know, like they're going to prom or something, and she comes in and Guy Pearce's character is like, oh, wow, she looks amazing. And it's so funny because now, you know, she'd be wearing hot pants with loads of makeup on, but she's just wearing sort of quite a dowdy dress, really. But she's taking her glasses off and that's it. It's such
that's all it takes.
It's a real sort of 80s, 80s makeover. Question number three, which famous Jane has won two Academy Awards and also released the highest selling VHS cassette of all time?
Fonda.
Yes. Straight in. Which famous Jane died in 1817 at the age of 41?
I keep wanting to say Mary Shelley.
Jane Shelley.
Yeah. What year did she die in again?
It was 1817.
I'm saying that as if I know another Jane who died in 1880.
Well, you were on the right lines with literary.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a literary Jane.
Is it Jane Austen?
It is Jane Austen. Very good. Which fictional Jane was tormented in the Red Room?
Oh, I don't know what the Red Room means. I immediately thought of 50 Shades of Grey. I don't think
it's not that kind of fiction.
No. The Red Room, I don't know.
But it does have a very domineering male in it, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if I've not read the books, but I assume in 50 Shades of Grey they end up getting married, and they do end up getting married in this book.
Oh, is it the one where there's the Bess in the attic?
Yes.
So it's Wuthering Heights.
It's the other one. It's Jane. Yes. Well, you've done
very, very comparable though to 50 Shades of Grey.
You'd forgotten the theme of the quiz there for a second, hadn't you?
Yeah, the character in 50 Shades. God. Although I was absolutely addicted to that series, and I was filming something in Boreham Wood, you know, Elstree, and I finished one of the 50 Shades of Grey books, and I said, I have to start the next book now. And they said, you're not allowed out of this compound. And I begged them. They let me go across the road to the Sainsbury's and get it. So I have to say, I mean, it was a page turner. I wouldn't only want to read books of that genre, but I thought it was amazingly plotted. But there was no red room. There was some room in there that was a bit...
There is a room, isn't there? He's got a playroom or something. Yeah. It might be
a
red room.
One of the things I love in your book, Izzy, and it's, as I said, I've only just started it, but and I don't know if this will continue throughout, but the references to Sharon Osbourne's autobiography please me enormously.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, the main character's trying to finish it, isn't she? I tried to think of a different autobiography when I found out that Sharon Osbourne likes Trump, because I was like, oh, I don't like that. And then I went through so many other options, and it just had to be Sharon Osbourne. There was no real alternative.
There's no substitute.
No.
There isn't. It did everything I needed it to do.
It's perfect. You'll get this one. This is another literary question. Which famous Jane's autobiography is called Riding the Waves? And we actually were talking about her before you got here, Izzy, and about how much we enjoy. We've been on a cruise recently, if that's any, if that gives you any clues.
Oh, she's an opera singer.
She's a singer.
She's a singer who sings on cruises.
She does.
Okay, not an opera singer, but certainly got a wide range.
She could do opera, but she chooses to do more party tunes, I would say.
Okay, but good vibrato and possibly classical training.
Yes.
And I can't remember her surname. And I know she's got brown hair.
Yes. It's fine. It's Jane MacDonald. And I'm not going to make you struggle.
A descriptive answer was given.
Exactly. Nobody would fail to give you a point for that. Now, this is... Okay, this... Which fictional Jane appeared in the books They Do It With Mirrors, A Murder Is Announced, and Nemesis? So her first name is Jane, but you will know her by her surname. So which fictional detective Jane appeared in the books They Do It With Mirrors, A Murder Is Announced, and Nemesis?
I can't think. So I don't really read detective books.
You'll have heard of her. She's sort of part of popular culture. She rides a bicycle.
Angela Lansbury.
Is Angela Lansbury. It's not Angela Lansbury.
Murder She Wrote. No.
We've sent you down the Murder She Wrote line. It is
that kind of vibe.
Very much so.
Okay, Murder She Wrote vibe. Jane.
The inspiration for Murder She Wrote, I would say.
Agatha Christie.
God, I don't know.
Miss
Marple.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, she's a Jane.
Well, that's like finding out your teacher's first name when you're at primary school, isn't it? Like, oh my God, you're not just Miss Marple. Right, okay.
Jane Marple, I know. I had literally no idea.
It's Jane without a Y for Miss Marple.
Just Jane. Just
doesn't feel right. It's had the Y.
No. You know, I don't think I've put any Janes with the Y in this quiz.
That's because you're a Jane purist. Mm. I've always thought that about you.
Who is a Jane with a Y? I'm going to search.
Jane Middlemiss? I don't know why that's the first Jane that came to my mind.
Yes, Jane Middlemiss. Jane Middlemiss, Jane there Mansfield.
Oh, yes.
Jane Torvill.
See, I never think of her as a Jane either. I just think of her as Torvill.
Yeah. Surname and Dean.
Yeah.
Do you want? Should we do one more?
One more, Jane.
Okay. Which famous Jane is described as the world's foremost expert on chimpanzees?
Oh, she is elderly. I think that's fair to say.
I think she wouldn't argue with that.
She's a dame. I'd say Jane Norman, but that I don't think that's the
defunct clothing brand, I think.
Oh, it is. Yes, Jane Norman. I had a lovely
Everyone just carried around the carrier bag as a school bag when I was around back in the day.
Yeah, it was really shiny, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that's the girls had a Jane Norman bag and the boys had a JD Sports bag. Like for the PE kit.
It was good for sort of those kind of tops, like going out tops, Jane Norman, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was very...
Yeah, nice top and a pair of jeans. Exactly, like nice Karen top Millen. From Jane Norman.
Yeah, a bit like Karen Millen, exactly like that sort of. Although it's not as expensive as Karen Millen.
Cheaper.
I don't think I ever. I think I had one thing from Karen Millen that, you know, I probably left the label on.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's more like Quiz now. That sort of you go and get something with some sequins on it.
We should get sponsored by them.
We should.
There you go. Amanda.
For all those formal quizzes we go to where we can wear bridesmaid dresses.
shall we give you, is her name, is it, okay, Jane Gibbons, Jane Goodall or Goodall. Jane Green?
Goodall.
Yes. There you go.
It'd be ironic if she was Jane Gibbons though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. I think that was why that name sprung to mind, wasn't it? very good. I have to say, Izzy, with the magic of editing, you just got all those questions right.
Oh, my Woo! God. Thank you.
That's the beauty of this podcast, is that Amanda can just take out any wrong answers and make it look like you got straight to it.
That's great.
Brilliant. Well, you've absolutely covered yourself in glory there, Izzy, with your Jane quizzing skills. What is your history of watching quizzing on telly and stuff?
The first quiz that I got really into was The Weakest Link, because it was probably because of when it was on, because I think it was on at kind of like maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, it was the tea time quizzing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really remember watching it with my family, and my dad used to find it very funny when they were defensive when they'd been voted off. You know, when they took it really seriously and were obviously really angry about it, he loved that. And we didn't watch that many things as a family. The Simpsons and The Weakest Link were probably the only two things, and maybe Gladiators. So that's the first quiz that I remember really getting into. And I think also the questions, things like University Challenge, I just don't know enough of the answers to get into it. And it would be brilliant if I did, because I can imagine it's really gripping and must be a real brain workout. But I think if you don't know most of the answers, it's not that interesting. Mm. Whereas I found with The Weakest Link, even at quite a young age, I did know the answer often. So then it was really exciting, because you want to be in a situation, don't you, where you're screaming at the screen, how could you have got that wrong? That's the point, I think, of watching quizzes. Yes. In a good-natured way, you know. I remember really, really loving that show, and Anne Robinson as well being very funny.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And it was, she was, you know, there still have not been many female quiz show hosts, as we have discussed on this show. And it was, you know, she created this amazing persona, didn't she?
Mm. Yeah, she did. And you were kind of scared of her, but wanted her to like you, which is, she makes it look very easy, I think. And it's not. She set the whole atmosphere and made that it have a lot of spectacle and drama, which not all quizzes do.
Yeah. It certainly ushered in an era of high concept, quite mean shows where the set was entirely dark and that sort of atmospheric quiz. And she was a trailblazer, and she still is in a way. She's still out there, the first female host of Countdown now.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on her.
Yeah, I think because that's her thing, isn't it? Those really acerbic, funny, intelligent remarks. You then get probably TV execs going, how can we make a show like this? And it's like, I feel like maybe with The Weakest Link, it would happened more organically, where she was like, this is what I am. And they were like, okay, let's do it. And I'd like to meet her because I'd sort of like her to like me.
I felt like that when I did meet her, and I'm not sure whether she did or not, but that's...
You'll never know either.
No, she'll never let me know, but I liked her.
Yes, I can imagine her not being like, hey, I really like you. That's not
but she was very nice. She was nice, you know, she was a pleasant person.
I bet.
Do you ever... So watching quizzing with... Like, obviously, what you watch The Weakest Link with your family. Do you and your husband Ellis, who we know and admire as well, do you ever watch anything together on the telly?
We don't really watch anything together because he does a podcast almost every night. I quite like watching dramas on my own because he really wants to watch documentaries. So we do watch documentaries together, actually, about things like free climbing, which because he does a sports documentary, so he has one to watch a week, and sometimes I join him, and I really like that. But I really like watching things on my own now. I'm watching Handmaid's Tale. But the thing we did recently watch together was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because it was either being repeated on ITV2 or we kind of found it on a catch-up thing in lockdown. And it reminded me of... I remember the very first episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because I was a student in Guildford, and me and my then boyfriend were just watching telly, and then this show came on and we were like, it was unbelievable that someone could win £1 million. And I also hadn't seen that tension before on a quiz show. And I know, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I suppose, is so famous now, it seems odd to say, but I just felt... I was enthralled by it. We were absolutely on the edges of our seats, and I thought it was a one-off. And then we absolutely could not believe that it wasn't a one-off, and that they potentially had £1 million to give away a week, but also just that we could enjoy this kind of attention and delight more than once in our lives. Like, it was amazing. And when that was on again, Ellis and I just stopped what we were doing, and we were like, I know the answer. I think you immediately get drawn in I prefer Chris Tarrant as a presenter, but I will still watch it now, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's, I mean, it's still incredible to me. Like, my kids don't understand, I think, because they watch YouTube videos where Americans give away millions of pounds just to people in the street. And it's a real thing now. And it sort of always was in America, big prizes. But, you know, to say to them, we used to be happy with a teas made, you know, or it's maybe a dishwasher if you were really, really lucky. It would blow their minds. But you're right. It was huge, wasn't it?
It felt massive. It felt, yeah, just like I hadn't seen anything like it before. And you're right. When you think of the prizes that used to be on game shows, it seems kind of cute now, doesn't it? But I remember, like, what game was it? Was it the Generation game where there was like a conveyor belt of different, and we just were like, yeah, that's the conveyor belt. Yeah, it's got, that's what I'd have. And, you know, it's funny now to think, I don't think you'd necessarily have that kind of stuff on a show now, or in House of Games, there's a sort of similar thing, isn't it, that you kind of win, I suppose sometimes not entirely useful kitsch items, but it's really funny. And yeah, but
how did you do? I haven't seen your House of Games yet. Has it been on?
Yeah, it's been on. I won, actually.
Woo!
Yeah, I won on, you know, the round that's kind of, I think it was anagrams or missing words out of a phrase. I just clinched it. Rhys James was brilliant. And the other two I was on with were sports people who, because I know literally nothing about sport, I was like, I've heard of them, I don't quite know who they are. And then Ellis was like, oh my God, I can't believe you've been on with them. But Rhys and I had very similar areas of expertise, if you want, if that feels like a very strong word to say. And we both really loved the kind of word bits, and that was literally the only bit that I was good at. My geography was utterly appalling. And I felt like I kind of got lucky, but also my heart was beating really fast, and I did get a real buzz, and I was like, oh my god, I've nearly won. So yeah, it was I loved it.
The rush of quizzing, that is the rush of quizzing, getting to you. Adrenaline.
Good the pure you. Quizzing. And I mean, because Richard Osman always says, if there's two comedians on, he knows it's going to be a very competitive week. Because I think we're just competitive by our very nature.
Yeah, I think we are. It's weird because I don't think of myself as that competitive. And with board games, I sort of just do really love playing them. But I play Lexilus against Tim Key and Daniel Kitson. We play it obsessively. Like, I just went off Twitter for like a week, so I was just doing Lexilus the whole time. And I do get very competitive with that. So it's weird because with a game, like maybe with the kids, I'd just be like, you can win Monopoly, guys, I don't mind. But it actually depends what you're playing and who you're playing with, isn't it? It isn't a simple thing. I don't think I'm that competitive with my career, especially as I've got older. I'm kind of like, I've had two kids now, I kind of want an easy life.
Yes.
But I do definitely, like with Lexilus, I'm like, I had this winning streak of Tim Key is unbeatable. And I had three games in a row where I beat him, and it's essentially Scrabble. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what's happened? I felt like I'd discovered this magic ingredient. And I was like, how am I winning? I wasn't cheating in any way. And then it just went away. And I was like, and we keep messaging each other going, how can we get back, because he's very kind as well. He's not competitive. He's like, really great move. He was like, how can you get back that winning streak? And I'm like, I don't know. It was like I'd been blessed for a few days and then it just went away.
Well, it can come back. I mean, that's the thing. You've had it. You just need to believe.
Do you think, though, that when you're doing a quiz, there is a kind of zone that you get into, like flow, where, because often you know the answer, don't you? But you can't access it.
Yeah, that's there is the two different bits. There's knowing things, you've got that memory, you take it in, but the recall, that often just comes down to practice and training yourself. I kind of train myself to, honestly, now if you ask me in other forms of quiz a question and I don't know the answer within 2 seconds, I'd like, nah, don't bother, tell me the answer. Because so it's that sort of almost automatic recall that you've programmed your brain to go to exactly the right little storage chamber up there and retrieve it and fire it out, and you do it automatically.
Practicing getting someone to ask you questions, and yeah,
I'll watching shows and playing along and seeing how you would have done, and the more of that you can do, the better you will get. But it's like Annie said, it's you feel differently and more competitive about different games and with different competitors. So it's finding your particular format and finding the right one to focus on, because not everybody can be amazing at University Challenge and Trivial Pursuit. And see, I'm good at quizzes. I'm terrible at Scrabble. So I'd be losing every single game.
Don't tell Tim Key that. He'll play the advantage. Well, shall we have a little quiz now that we've Jenny has given you some of her secrets of quizzing? Because I know that Amanda has set us a quiz. I don't know what the subject of this quiz is. What would be your specialist subject is if you had to choose?
I was thinking about this. I listened to James Acaster's episode of this earlier, and I was thinking, what would my specialist subject be? And because I was listening to it, I was like, James Acaster, because I love it. Was like, it's like when a child, you know, like if you gave a child chocolate and you were like, what do you want for dinner? They'd just say chocolate. Well, they would anyway. Actually, I would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, I'm just saying the thing that I can hear. I've got to be more careful about this. It's often the thing that, because I think my memory isn't as good as it used to be. Like, I think that's just to do with getting older and maybe having to look after a toddler and a six-year-old. I sometimes think it's the thing that I've done most recently that could be a specialist subject. So I've been asked to do Celebrity Mastermind and actually have said no, because I thought my specialist subject for that would be Iris Murdoch, because I absolutely love her books. Mm-hmm. But and I've read nearly all of them. But I was like, I haven't got time to swat up, and I just know I wouldn't know enough of the answers. So I think I'd like to say Iris Murdoch, but I think the truth is it would probably be seasons 1 to 3 of The Handmaid's Tale, because that's where I'm up to at the moment. It's practiced in my mind.
Well, those are both excellent choices, and I'm sure Mastermind would be delighted one day when you do have time.
Eventually, maybe when my son turns 3, I'll go, right, that's it. I'm going to dedicate a few days to rereading Iris Murdoch.
I suspect that this quiz, Amanda, is not going to be about Iris Murdoch, or indeed...
Well, it's kind of got a dystopian theme, because it's Peep Show. Obviously, most of the listeners know you from Channel 4's longest running sitcom, and it was set in Croydon. So it's a quiz all about Croydon. And yes! Lucy, I'm expecting big things from you, because that's your hometown, isn't it?
Well, I'll never be allowed to go back if I get anything wrong.
I'm at a massive disadvantage here. I went through Croydon on the train yesterday. Does that help?
Good enough. Good enough, honestly.
Just watch. You will now beat me and Izzy into a cocktail.
Well, you've got 2 questions each, and I'll rotate you. I'm going to start with you, Lucy, first of all. So what connection does Nicholas Owen, that's newsreader Nicholas Owen, have to Croydon?
Oh, well, I have literally no idea. Does he have freedom of the city of Croydon because he once saved a child from being run over by a tram? Let's say it's that.
You are so close on a couple of levels there. So, I mean, he should have the freedom of the town, and it does connect with the trams. So what do you think?
Oh, did he used to drive a tram?
I'm going to throw it over to to Izzy. What do you think, Izzy?
I think he's got a house there that he doesn't live in.
it's good, but it's not right. Jenny, have you made the connection yet?
Did he cut the ribbon at the formal opening of the tram network?
Which I think was sort of back in 1910, wasn't it? So it's not that.
See, I told you I know nothing about Croydon.
Well, I think, but this is a fact I think you're all going to absolutely love knowing now. He's the voice of the trams. The voice of the tram network.
What? That makes sense, yes.
Oh, I need to go and get on those trams. That's a great fact.
It's a great fact, isn't it?
Very good, very good fact.
So here's another potential great fact. So Jenny, I'm going to go to you next. Now, what was Croydon the first area outside of central London to start using in 1966? Does that make sense? So I'll just read that again. So Croydon was the first area outside of central London to start doing something in 1966.
Oh, goodness me. Start I mean, it's always been a forward-thinking location. So yeah. I will say it was the first place to have cash points.
Oh, that's good. I mean, we all know who used the first cash point, right?
Reg Varney.
Yeah. Just a little fact I knew
classic,
there.
Classic quiz fact now.
It is. That's not quite right. So, Lucy, I've got to try and think. I've
it's not quite
really
right. It's very not right.
I really feel I'd be a terrible quiz master. I can't say, you know, I need to encourage people. I can't sort of say, oh, no, you're completely wrong.
Even when I am.
Yeah, even when you are, which you
but
were there.
It's Anne Robinson.
Yeah,
I would be the antithesis of Anne Robinson in so many ways. But Lucy,
I've got no idea. Well, yes, but I wasn't in the area in 1966, unfortunately. So, well, it's pre-decimalisation, isn't it?
I'm surprised they weren't all still talking about it in the mid-70s.
Can't even think of a sort of interesting or amusing answer to this. I've literally no idea. Was it starting to use? Oh, God. No, nothing.
Okay. Izzy, have you got any thoughts?
It's starting to use something, isn't it?
So I'll give you all a clue, actually. Oh. I don't know how much of a good clue this is going to be, but they started trialling this particular thing in Norwich first.
Okay,
system that is used was actually started in Croydon. So, Izzy, did you have a thought?
My idea was that it was the first UK town to have a shopping centre, but I don't know if you'd call it trialling something.
Yeah, I don't know how you trial a shopping centre, but Lucy?
Now, postcodes is what I'm going to say.
And you're going to say sail of the century.
you would be absolutely right. Yes, the current postcode system, after being developed in the Norwich trials, sounds like the witch trials. The present system was then introduced to Croydon. So there we are.
Salem witch trials, Norwich postcode trials.
Very similar.
I know which I'd rather have been at.
Izzy, now I know you said you didn't like multiple choice, but this one's a multiple choice. I'm really sorry about that.
I can bear it.
Which of these authors was born in Croydon? Was it T.S. Eliot, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, or A.A. Milne?
This is for me, is it first?
Yeah, this is you.
You'll definitely know this, won't she? I don't think it's Arthur Conan Doyle. I'm going to go with A.A. Milne.
I am going to throw it over to Lucy. Jenny already knows.
I think it is Conan Doyle. I think it is Conan Doyle.
And you'd be right, yes. Mm. It was 22nd of May, 1859. So,
yes.
Right. I thought he was born in Scotland, but he lived in Crowborough, which is that technically Croydon, Crowborough?
No, that's Sussex, Crowborough.
Yeah.
I didn't just rely on Wikipedia. So I did look at, I think, two sources.
It does ring a bell, actually.
Somebody asked me about
his connection to Crowborough. Oh, yeah.
Going to start with you, Izzy. So in 1919, how did Sir Winston Churchill nearly meet his maker in Croydon?
Now, the obvious thing is trams, but I don't know when the trams came in. How else could he have met his maker? Oh, I don't know when the trams...
No, trams were very recent in Croydon. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they were there and then they went again, but I would say it's not trams.
Yeah, absolutely, it's not trams. Yeah.
I'm going to say...
This is quite an unfair question, really, but go for it.
I'm going to lose the Croydon thing and say, how could he have met his maker in that time? And I'm remembering stuff about the London fog and buses and stuff. I'm just going to say he nearly got run over by a bus.
That's a really good guess. But anybody else know?
I mean, he was a heavy drinker. And, you know, Croydon's got a lot of pubs. Did he have a night like I had at the Ship pub? I think I nearly lost my life at the Ship and the Standard, the Royal Standard. That was the cartoon. That was a very rough. Did he go to the cartoon?
He did not.
Have a bottle of Bacardi.
Well, he might have done, but that's not what nearly killed him.
Okay.
Jenny, any thoughts?
Did he nearly go insane trying to work out postcodes? Put on the back burner for another 50 years.
Until he went to Norwich and they showed him how to do it. Well, what it was, it's quite an unfair question, but he was taking flying lessons at Beddingdon Aerodrome, and that's how he nearly died because it fell from the sky. So for an extra point, for a point, this is a bit of a fairer question. What would Beddington Aerodrome later become?
I'm going to say, I don't know if this is right. I want to say Biggin Hill, but I think that's in Sussex.
I guess the right lines.
East Croydon Airport, or is that a bit big? No.
No, it's Croydon Airport. You're absolutely right. Yay! Brilliant. So, Lucy, sticking with Beddington Aerodrome, because there was very few facts about Croydon, really. For what reason was Beddington Aerodrome opened in 1915? Had a specific reason.
Planes to fly out of, mate.
It was, that's not why it started.
Hello.
So what was happening in 1915?
Well, it was war, wasn't it? It was the war. So it was for planes to build planes for the war.
It wasn't. Shall I? Has anybody else got any?
I'm going to go, it wasn't planes, it was airships.
Do you like that?
It's not right, is it? But I like it.
If it's not right, I'm going to go for it was used as a military hospital.
That's nice.
Well, you were kind of along the sort of right lines with airships, but it was actually opened as a base from planes to attack German Zeppelins to stop bombing raids. So there we go.
Interesting. Very good.
And your final question goes to Jenny. I reckon you'll know this one, Jenny. Which league does Croydon FC play in?
I don't know what they keep rechanging the names, you see. The Southern Conference.
No,
I don't know.
It's the Ryman League.
Sponsored by Ryman.
Yeah.
Which I think is the Southern Conference as it used to be, but we're not. Never mind. I know nothing about Croydon or football.
And I know nothing about football. And it turns out I don't know anything about Croydon either. So it's.
You know the pubs of Croydon.
I do. I can tell you where to go and get drunk. And that is really all we need to know.
So Izzy kicked our ass on that, basically.
Yes. There you go. You see. So if Celebrity Mastermind is listening, then Izzy will now be doing Croydon as her special subject. Well, we do hope to see you on Celebrity Mastermind very soon, and indeed in real life very soon.
It's been lovely.
We will all be reading your book.
I will. I'm ordering it right now.
Oh, thank you.
So Jane is Trying is out now. Thank you, Izzy City.
Thank you.
Well, what a delight it has been to talk to the gorgeous Izzy Sooty.
Delight is, it's an insufficient word, I think.
And I hope that any Janes listening to the podcast enjoyed our chat and being the focus of attention for a while. And speaking of Janes, I can give you the answer to our Jane McDonald question from earlier, which was, what was the name of the talent show that she hosted? And the answer was Star for a Night.
Oh, Star for
a Night. And she's a star for life, Jane McDonald, as is Izzy Sooty, as are you, Jen, as is Amanda.
And
love you,
Lise.
All very much. And our listeners.
Every single one of you listening. Yeah. Most importantly.
You're all as special to me as Jane McDonald. So we'll see you next time on
Fingers on Buzzers.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.